for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is not clear as it should be, but it's beyond our control.
Sunday evening, December 28, 1980. At Cameron Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, Midwinter Camp Meeting. Frank Mendola is the speaker of the evening, speaking why a renunciation prayer. We'll spend the rest of the service, the rest of the night, praying.
Well, the first line of business we need to stand God and thank God that these people with us. Did you stand up and thank God with us? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Raise your hands to heaven. Lord God, you're our Father. Jesus Christ is our brother. And the Holy Spirit is our guide. Hallelujah. Oh, the Word of God tells us that we have a great high priest. Hallelujah. Oh, who knew our sufferings, oh God. Oh, and that He makes intercession forever. Hallelujah. We thank you for the blood that was sprinkled on that mercy seat, oh God. Hallelujah. It wasn't the blood of cats and dogs. It wasn't the blood of bulls and of goats. But it was the precious blood of Jesus that ever speaks for the redemption that we have, oh God. And it's payment for our healing. Father, we thank you for that sacrifice. We thank you for the great sacrifice. Lord, we want to be that living sacrifice, that we can be an example to others. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Would you thank Jesus by clapping your hands? Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, to the Messiah, the Yeshua HaMashiach. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. What you did was very simple. Just clap your hands on you, Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Well, it's interesting that our brother is so in tune with the Holy Spirit because he takes upon the assault and his little sermonette, as he usually does, and he broke bondages from past lives, and so three guests is what we're going to talk about tonight. I just appreciate Glenn and Irma Miller for inviting my wife and I down. It's just a real thrill to come and to speak. I hope to be an example and to minister to God's people. You know, I tell you, we got a lot of renewing of the mind to do. I'll say this just in passing, we don't get on with the sermon. But this just seems so ridiculous. I was sitting here praying, and I was watching a king pray for the sick, and my intellectual mind is going, how could a colonel in the Marines know how to pray for the sick, pray for the sick? And God was saying, well, he's probably in wonder, how can an engineer do the same thing? So praise God, he's blowing our minds, but I want to tell you something. Stand on that mind, be blown. I praise him for that. I love when people come to me, and I teach them, show them the way to salvation, and baptism in the Holy Spirit, and deliverance, and healing. And they say, you lost your mind. I said, you're right, I've got the mind of Christ. You're crazy. Well, if this is crazy, hey, God for it, I don't want to be sane again. If I'm wrong, I don't want to be right. Because this is the best thing I found, and I haven't found one thing in the world that. How many of you can say amen to that? Okay, very good. You sound like you're. Okay, good. Because you're living sacrifice. Okay. We're going to
we're not going to use so much scripture as we have in the past. We're going to do very quick recapitulation, and then we're going to go on. Now, we've been here since, Wednesday night, right? We've been hearing two major themes. The first, if you remember, and may I say this, is that I don't come here selling tapes, okay? That's the ministry for lay panelists. And God spoke to me that. He spoke to me that that would be a conflict of interest. Because I feel that these people were blessed enough that God should give them a reward. And I feel if you go buy the tapes, you buy it from them. So God spoke to me about what I was going to do. And I want to say this, is that we started off with maintaining deliverance. Now, I look for confirmation. As Brother Wilson spoke this afternoon, he said, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that any word you confirm. And all I have to say that is amen. And it's just beautiful that one of the women who was here, and as we were having lunch, she came up to me and said, you know, Brother Frank, my husband said, for crying out loud, you've been delivered of grace every time a deliverance man to come. And you can't be getting rid of the same thing. He says, in your word, Frank, I suddenly realized. I got all these things cast out, but no one told me what to think of them, except you. Praise God that he told us way back in Valrico, Florida, that was going to be the first message to come forth, and that was the confirmation. Is that beautiful? Glory to God. I think it is. Okay, the second and really the third messages were sort of the childhood thing, and our hunger. We didn't go into the occult yet, right? Since I've been here, we're in both countries, and I'm going to, let me just tell you what my itinerary is here. But tonight and tomorrow, we're going to complete, and brother, you can label this sermon, Why is the Menstruation Thing? And it's going to have two parts, part one and part two. And that may seem like a very basic type of sermon. But you hang on, there's going to be deep truths we're going to reveal here. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to finish up on Wednesday. Tuesday, we're going to start Break Those Curses, part one, and Break Those Curses, part two. So I'd like if you can stay here all the way through. And we would like you to hear those sermons. You know, if you haven't heard Maintaining Deliverance, I suggest you tell about picking up the tape this one.
That reminds me, we kept living here that time, but it's stated we're speaking tomorrow night on International Money.
Okay. Why are you making this mistake? What is better than that? For the first, I'm sorry. Got the Holy Ghost. And I stopped at a particular thing. I mean, I'll say you could read the door. You did that. I don't need deliverance. I mean, me? A Christian needs deliverance? How many of you receive deliverance if you raise your hand? I think that's an attempt to that question. There's a misconception in Christian circles. Can I tell you what it is? I was in sin. I am now saved and have left that sin. Therefore, whatever hold it had on me has to go. Wrong. Not true. There are things you're not even aware of that you're bound by. Amen, sir. I think it's going to be another quiet night, but amen anyway. Does anybody know what the power of the pain is? Okay. You give somebody the right to do something for you. He's got the power of attorney. That's a very deep description. And some of us call them open doors. When we were in sin, we have given. And do you remember what the Greek word topos was? Or topos, or whatever you pronounce it, when we quoted Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it says, you need to give place to the devil. What an innocent statement. Would you give place to the devil? But the word topos means place, a quarter, like an army barracks. It could mean a spot, location, but I like the last thing that Strong has to say about it. It can also mean license. Ooh, you've given a license to the devil, and guess what? He'll take it. He'll take that license. And then he gets very legalistic about it. And we gave a couple of examples. We're going to give some more tonight. Hey, why can't I get saved? Why can't I get delivered when I get saved? Well, sometimes you do. And sometimes you don't. Do I always have to come to a deliverance minister and sit
in the hot seat, quote unquote. To get delivered?
No.
You get delivered anyway. Well, I'll tell you something. It's people who have been to deliver.
But they're not there.
And because they're not, it's too low. And so we draw from their expertise and their knowledge. You know? I've been delivered from truth just by crucifying the flesh and against the other day and by reading the word. They work. But I want to tell you something. The majority, in fact, I'll go to say this, 90% of all the spirits are first out of me, and I had a bunch. Was by sitting in this? Actually, having my wife and other people pray for me. And I'll tell you something. And if you can quote the scripture and amount of two or three witnesses is good, what do you think of two or three people minister to you? And they start receiving the word from the Lord. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, the word of the Spirit. Isn't that what the body of Christ says? And if I want another, bring yourself in the face? Okay. Demons are legalistic. We perform delivery on a woman we may take it a week ago. And he said, okay, screw the week, it's an out. See, that's got to be in there. They move. And then it just gives us an ugly look and says, my name is Egypt. And I come from a mountain in Egypt. I don't know of many mountains in Egypt, but I know a lot of things. Really. And so we cast it out, and the brother who told us, Dr. Thurman says, brother, I think in one fell swoop, you cast out 100. Thank you. Legion, 6,000, 2,000, whatever you believe. You need the renunciation, though, and the prayer to set your will in action against the demon spirit. Well, why does my will have to come into action? Well, consider what a demon is. He's a parasitic, non-entity, as far as physical beings, who seeks to dwell and occupy a personal or physical entity. You know what he has? He has will. And he can impose his will on you. And all of a sudden, you find yourself maybe doing a sin by your will, but after a while, you, even though you really want to stop, you can't do it. That thing's driving you. You know why? You're not subject to Ishmael. Amen. And it's got personality, the wrong type. And usually find that its nature is what its name describes. Call out lust, it'll be lustful. Call out bitterness, it'll be bitter. Very easy. Items or objects may need to be destroyed in order for deliverance to take place. That's why in the Renunciation Prayer. Because in it, as you will see later, and everybody here will get a handout, you need to set your will and break objects in your hand. I think we use the story of several people who were into certain things, but no demon is going to leave because they need the object. They need galaxy. The license is in the house. Or upon their neck in the form of jewels. House to old men, women, and then, pierce ears, we found to be 100. I'll get into that. Piercing your ears. Not the ears necessarily, but the piercing is symbolic of bondage. Then, when you pierce it, it's a symbol of bondage. My wife had that problem, that's why no person. I didn't think, when the brother told me, I have to tell you, I had a little struggle with this belief. And when I saw my wife go free, I said, praise you, Jesus, you know what to do. Amen. And doors are open many ways. They're open by direct involvement. What does that mean? I was directly involved in what? The occult, Satanism, witchcraft, astrology, horoscope. Direct involvement, okay? You have much more palms. Get the palm read. Get tea leaves read. Fortune read. Crystal balls. Egyptian. You have your handwriting analysis. Open door. Personal. You got involved. That was the open door. Your sin, your doing. You know? It's like a buy one, get one free. People go to the store to get rock music. You got buy one, get like Cracker Jack. You know? You go to get popcorn. You get a free surprise. So we're going to find hot music, well, find rock music, you get a free deal with every package. And then, indirect involvement. What do I mean by that? Well, if your parents were in, and it sounds a curse, you buy it. If your forefathers, even nicer parents, their grandparents, you may have it. And this comes very strong through curses and lineage, through soul ties, which we're going to tell you what they're all about. Demonic subjective. We discussed in when we went over the childhood as far as indirect involvement. If you read the book, My Name is Legion, you found out that the woman who had these spirits got them because mama and daddy had a fierce argument and she was under the dinner table clutching it and screaming her lungs out. Demons, that is. And then, Did we quote James 3:14? Were there strife? And there certainly is strife in a home that has arguments over time. Were there strife and bitter envy? Or as one translation says, bitter jealousy. There was confusion and every evil. Yes. Amen. If you've read the book, The Devil and Terry Pearson, you found out that the reason why this woman was so totally taken over by demon spirits is that she saw her father murder a man. And if you don't think that's a trauma or a shock, where demon spirits can take hold, guess again. Bad covering. We found out that in a home where the covering is broken, I think we talked enough about that, I just mentioned it, the child is subject to the weaknesses of the parents, right? To those who are over the father, as I knew for you. If you're submitted to a pastor or a church where they got a bad covering, and they're full of stock, and guess who reaps their blessings of that? And I want to tell you something. If you reap in blessings, they're more like curses. If they don't have a good covering. The reason I know that is I've been performing deliverance on my wife, and she takes a new thing from. Praise God, folks. This is tough stuff. I got to go fast, so you catch on to it. You won't get it the first time, so buy the case. Curiosity. She asked me to go to a seance, so I'm just curious. Much love. That's in trouble. Because you knew that was legality, you would have been. You know, I meet a lot of people that used to silly things sometimes. Well, we were in a restaurant, and they announced the man who had come to entertain us, and he was just an entertainer to perform mass hypnosis. Glory to God. That's really great. God knows what you bought from that. In fact, I witnessed to a man who worked with me. Unsaved, believed he could communicate with the dead, was attending spiritualistic meetings. I kid you not. Put a piece of paper in the plate, said, come around and say, yes, we're passing on the other side now, and I'm talking to Joe Yuck, you know, one of those. Nonsense is a familiar spirit for demonic impersonation. There's no truth in it. All lie, all deception. I thank God that just at that time he was telling me about this, God was leading me in a deliverance realm. And I told him about deliverance. I told him about hypnosis, which he was very good at hypnosis. He used to hypnotize people and walk. Tell me what? And get rid of their headaches and all this other stuff. But then, when I mentioned how the demonic personalities could take over, he suddenly remembered. He went to a mass hypnosis meeting. And on the way home, his wife acted very funny. And he says, you know something? You would call the type of things that came up manifestation. And what he was describing of how he had to hold her. Pull the car over to the side of the road and hold her down. I want to tell you, there certainly were manifestations, one after the other. Brother Frank, I'm just curious. I read my telescope to the fun of it. Nice. You may think it's funny. The demon don't. This reminds me of the fundamentalist pastor who is going to prove to his congregation that his telescope is just a bunch of junk. So we got a telescope left. Started coming through. Now what do you do? I want to tell you something. The Lord called him on the carpet. He just missed him. He needs to repent. He repented. I think he got delivered. Isn't that a great way to break the funding from his people and get him to deliver? Amen. Why renunciation prayer? Certain requirements must be met that will be met by saying a renunciation prayer. For instance, honesty. You know, it's not a pick and choose situation. Well, I want to get rid of the torment and feel like the lust. No, it's not a buying it, it's not let's make a deal. Either you get rid of all or nothing. And it's not a pick and choose proposition. Humility, I think we covered that one. Being submissive. If you learn how to be submissive to the order structure in the Bible, you will be submissive at a time of deliverance and will get free. The actual renunciation, like we did from the childhood thing. Being out, getting it, rejecting, whatever we thought was pregnant. Forgiveness. We'll get into that. And then calling upon the name of the Lord. Okay? We touched upon honesty the other day. And honesty has to be met with the right motive. Psalm 66:18, don't pay your listen. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. David said that. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess. Notice the will's going to be in there. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Honesty also includes, therefore, the outlook of the demon influence on you. What do you mean by that? The motivation behind deliverance is not to get rid of torment or something that's aggravating you, it's to serve God better. You don't come to the deliverance minister just to get rid of torment. You get rid of it to serve God. Because if your motivation is not right, you'll buy it back. We had to deny deliverance from people who said they were coming to deliverance just to get rid of the torment. Does it work like that? And because of this, some get delivered. I can't say this. Some do not. You say, why is that? Doesn't deliverance work for everybody? Yeah. Yes, it works for everybody, but you have to meet the conditions to get deliverance. Let me say it another way. God promises deliverance in the Bible for all of your enemies. But he doesn't promise deliverance from your sin. It took a while to sink in, but I think you see what I mean. Had a woman 48 years old. Listen to this. A professional person, a nurse. She had 52 evil spirits. In one session, and this is really a very early deliverance, and God forgive me for the mistake, if you listen. In one session, we got 52 evil spirits. You know what we found 2 weeks later? 52 spirits all back in. You want to know why? I couldn't believe it when I heard someone 48 years old do what they kind of. Get an older sister. You know what the gripe was? Daddy always loves you more better than he loves me. Jealousy. I've never seen anything like it before. We tried to hold a prayer meeting with this woman here who had brought these things of the most to me, that thing. Stop everything! Oh, brother, here we go again. There's people in this room who don't love me. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, sister, who is it that don't love you? You don't love me, certainly. You don't love me. You don't love me. He don't love me.
Well,
how do I handle this, O Lord? Well, then to your top three questions. Now, a few words are typical case, and you can read it in Frank and Ida Hammond's book, Pigs in the Parlor. I recommend it highly. The typical case of demonic paranoid schizophrenia. She had, as a matter of fact, if you can see through the blackboard, she had all the qualities of the big eye and the small eye with paranoia in the middle. And I want to tell you, that's a nasty combination. Those are the hardest to get delivered. If they don't mean business, it's very hard. In fact, it won't work. So she points to me. She sticks her ugly finger to me. The demon does. Not her. Says, Brother Frank, do I need delivery? And you know what God showed me in a split second of time? If I would have said, yes, sister, you do, the big eye would have manifested as superiority and said, well, who are you anyway? But what do you know about the word? Or, if I would have said, yes, sister, the small eye could have manifested and said, what do you know about me? You have no feeling for me. I said, Jesus, what? Can I ask? He says, wait. Answer her this way. And the wisdom of God spoke out to me, and I said, sister, Jesus is going to have to show you if you need deliverance. And there was not a rebuke. You need wisdom in this, and you need discernment. Brother Frank, that was a nice saying before. God promises deliverance from all your enemies and not your friends. I'd like you to remember that, by the way. which is the truth of the scripture. And you know, I didn't know it was in the Word until I read James, well, really a scripture, you know, it's really good, a real one scripture, but I like this one the best. James chapter 4, verse 4. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. How about that? You must actually hate demons. Hate? Yes, what God is. There's a time for love and there's a time for hate. Ecclesiastes 3. Humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What was our threefold proposition? First, humility, submission, and resistance. And there is no resistance without the first two. We had a case where somebody says, I am not submitted to you, Brother Frank. I said, well, I'm sorry, but I can't believe you. Bye-bye. When I tell you, I had to refuse deliverance. Okay, we talked enough about that. There's got to be repentance, and I might add a repentant spirit. You know, most people think they repented when they got saved, and that's it. No. Repentance, I like what Irma says, is never out of sight. And if you're going to submit and go on with God into perfection, or whatever you want to call it, you've got to have a repentant spirit. And you have to move when God falls upon you. Confess your fault one to another, says James 5:16, and pray one to another that you may be healed or may be delivered. We sang this song, and I sang it for you on purpose. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit, yes, within me. Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Okay, if we meet those conditions, then we have to meet the actual renunciation, and then after the renunciation, forgiveness. Now, let me just stop right here a moment. The first two is not usually too hard to meet, but this one can be devastating. Women, you don't have to get all fluttery about forgiveness. You don't have to work up much fear. It's an act of your will. The Bible says, I will confess. And you have to set your will. If there's emotion with it, praise God. But some people think they have to work up something. No, it's an act of my will. And I'll tell you something. Can I tell you two people that usually people have to forgive? Mom and Dad. Amen. I'm speaking from experience. God had to call me on the carpet on that one. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. So the fact, well, that doesn't apply to me. Oh, really? Why not? My husband, you don't know what a monster he is. Tell me about it, sister. We're divorced, and it was all his fault. Okay, let's say it was. He ruined 10 years of my marriage. I'm sorry. You need to forgive him. What? What? He ruined 10 years of my marriage? He's not paying alimony? He's not supporting the kids, and you expect me to forgive? Yes. But he's doing 10 years of my life. Well, sister, if you don't forgive him for only the first 10 years of your life, the thought and the bitterness that we'll project will ruin the next 10 years of your life. Doctors tell us that arthritis and cancer are the fruit of someone who cannot forgive. I didn't say that. Doctors did. Now, I'm not saying that every time you have arthritis or cancer, it's always unforgiveness. But I'll tell you something. If I start getting sick in my joints, I hope the joints are still loose enough where I can kneel and ask God to show me if I have unforgiveness or bitterness towards anyone. I want to go on with God. How about you? He said, Brother Frank, that's not in Scripture. I don't care what the doctor says. I'm sorry, it is Scripture. Do you remember the unjust steward? Do you remember the unjust steward? You know. I mean, the warning authority forgave him all his debt. But, and the debt was it, 10,000 talents? An astronomical figure, especially with his inflation these days, okay? 10,000 talents, which is equal to, I would say, dare say, millions of dollars. Okay? And my commentary says that he went out, and there is someone who owed him the equivalent of $15. $15. And he rattled him and put him in prison. I mean, does your Bible have that parable in it? Amen? Okay. Mind up. I'm just checking. When the king finds out, he calls him on the carpet and says, did I not forgive you this vast amount of money that you couldn't forgive this person here who owed you $15? Do you know what the judgment was? It wasn't to send him to hell. It was to hand him over to the tormentors. Would you say that arthritis and cancer are qualified pretty good for tormentors? I do. Okay. Let's say this and just closing on forgiveness. The Bible says, God so loved, he gave. I don't care how much the person wounded you. You need to forgive. If you want the agape love of God, you must give and forgive. Because God gave and he forgave. And he, in authority, was the example to us who we're supposed to be submissive to him, so we can be the same to those who are submissive to us. We then call upon the name of the Lord, and according to Joel 2:32, and ask for deliverance to be manifested. And I might say that the purpose of this particular deliverance prayer is to break the occult, witchcraft, and curses, demonic subjection, psychotherapy, etc. You remember that plenty of us got deliverance with childhood and parental spirits, remember? And this renunciation prayer works in accordance with that renunciation, but for the purposes of brevity, I have broken up the names of those things in the occult, witchcraft, etc. realm on one sheet, and I have actually two pieces of handout, but I can't give this to everybody. The one handout I will give to everyone is what I have in my hands right here. And everyone will get a copy. Everyone. If you're, naturally, I don't want the small children or somebody's not going to have to deliver it, but the dog to beat every family. Everyone will get this, and what it is a renunciation prayer, okay, on the occult. But if you eliminate the occult and just say the preparatory prayer, forgiveness, and calling upon the name of the Lord, you speak to renounce all the ones we pulled out, the childhood ones. Remember that? The big eye, the small eye, etc. Okay. Let's break over the renunciation prayer and let's say it in unison together. We're going to do this by faith and then I'll explain to you what you've read. Okay? Just say it with me. Don't repeat after me. Okay? Dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, and conviction of spirit, do I make this following confession? I have sinned against you and have disobeyed your word, whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity, and I now repent of these sins and ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by the act of my will and in the name of Jesus, I close all those doors which I have opened to Satan, and I now ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce all these things and cleanse me in body,
soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. Okay, now we're going to be announcing each of the parts here, and we'll do it again in unison. Okay, this will be part one. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the following. I renounce the occult. I renounce witchcraft and magic, both black and white. I renounce all seances, clairvoyance, mediums, contact with familiar spirits, and UFOs. I renounce Ouija boards and all other occult games. I renounce all fortune-telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot, and other card laying, and pendulums. I renounce all astrology and interest in horoscopes and signs of the zodiac. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation and all healing groups involved in metaphysics. I renounce all hypnosis, mind reading, mind control, second sight, and ESP, EST, and parapsychology. I renounce water witching or dowsing, levitation, body lifting, table tipping, psychometry, and automatic writing and drawing and composing. I renounce astral projection and other demonic skills. I renounce all literature I have ever read in any of these fields and vow that I will destroy such books in my own possession. I will also destroy any objects, pictures, signs, statues, jewelry, charts, which are on my person or in my house. You're doing very good. Okay, we'll go to part two. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the following. I break all curses, hexes, spells, jinxes, vexes, and charms placed on me from any occult source. I break the curse of illegitimacy 10 generations back off from my family line. I break the curse of idolatry off my family line, and I renounce any oath I or my ancestors ever made to any false god, idol, false cult, or false religion. I renounce any initiation rites into any club, brotherhood, lodge, fraternity, sorority, or order which is of a demonic or witchcraft origin. I break all demonic subjection, demonic soul ties, or bondages to my mother, father, grandparents, spouses, ex-spouses, or any other human being, living or dead, who has ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break all curses of psychic heredity and any demonic hold upon my family line as a result of the disobedience of any of my ancestors, spouse, or ex-spouses. I break any curses of physical or mental illness off my family line. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce every cult that denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ and every philosophy that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Okay, part three. Lord, I have another confession to make. I have not loved, but have resented certain people. I confess this as sin. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive. Okay, now right here, it'd be very good just to forgive, as we're saying the prayer, anybody, anyone who has hurt you. Now, read the line in parentheses. I'll read it, you be silent. Here we pause for several minutes while each person puts the names in there which the Lord brings to mind, either of persons living or dead, who hurt you or disappointed you. And it can go back to childhood and let the Lord do it. Don't go down the basement yourself, so to speak, and look at these ugly drawings. You let God do it. And you think, Lord, who is it? And God will bring it to mind. Okay? And then the last part is, I do not forgive myself, but you just meditate just for a moment. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, you do recall to our minds, whoever it might be. Whoever it might be, Lord. Chester, would it be your mother, father, uncle, relatives, spouse, ex-spouse, whoever it might be. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Okay? Let's repeat that last line. I do now forgive myself. Okay, let's read part four together. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and arose from the dead. You redeemed me by your blood, and I belong to you, and I want to live for you. I confess all my sins, known and unknown. I'm sorry for them all. I renounce them all. Now I come to you as my deliverer, Lord Jesus, claiming the promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. You know my special need, the thing that binds, torments, defiles, that evil spirit, that unclean spirit. I call upon you now, Lord Jesus, to deliver me and set me free. Satan, I now renounce you and all your works. I loose myself from you, and in the name of Jesus, I command to leave me right now. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. And now you can teach that, and you want to know something? Here's why I let you have that. And I don't want no contribution. That's free. You have it. I don't want your money. God's going to supply my needs. You don't worry about that. That's free. Now, here's what you do with that. You don't give it to your kids so they can crayon all over it. Amen. You don't give it to somebody down the street because he might not give it back. Okay, you get a copy of it. Somebody got to take it, okay? You keep that in your house. And anytime anybody comes to you for deliverance, guess what? You're prepared. Amen? Say amen. Sure. Isn't that the wisdom of God? Why give you something, especially the people who can't afford to take and certainly can't remember that long prayer? Right? This way you've got a piece of paper, you take it home, and if you need deliverance. And I'll tell you something, there's a lot in here that you can't possibly remember from memory. And whether you get the demon group in this or not, this will certainly recall things to mind. Okay? So you keep and take care of it. Too much is given, much is required. Okay? Now, I'm not going to leave you in the dark. There's a lot of things on there that you're probably scratching your head. UFOs. You know, it's kind of strange, but I want to tell you something. You people who have been here for a while, you know that you're going to hear the word of the Lord. And God ministered to me very strongly on the subject of UFOs before I came here. So you just hang on. That's probably where we'll end tonight. This is a two-part message. I can possibly cover it in one night. So we're going to go so far. When time prevails, we'll stop. We'll have deliverance. And tomorrow night, you come back and hear the lesson, okay? Now, the first part that we read, dear Lord, with honesty of heart and humility of soul, I think we have already covered that in the first part of the sermon, so I'll just let it go. I think we've covered that. Now, let's go to part one. Now, if you got your prayer and you'd like to make notes right as I'm going, go right ahead, because you're going to need to. But don't put it in your pocketbook. Don't slip it in your jacket pocket. You can write on it. It's yours. And if you don't want to mess up the front seat, just turn it over right on the back. Okay. Let's take apart part number one. I'm not going to read it again. I'm just going to take line by line and explain to you in detail why you must renounce it and what it means. The first one I think is pretty easy. I renounce the occult, plain and simple. What does the occult include? Actually, forms of witchcraft, which we'll discuss when we go down to line two. And I might add the drug culture. Now, we had a beautiful brother and sister in the Lord who worked right here, even at Lake Hamilton, who's been delivered from so many things. But when they came to me, I discerned that something was yet not complete. And I want to say this, that God has led me to pray for people who have been in the drug culture to call out its specific name in Greek. In Greek, and I'll tell you why. First of all, the Greek word for sorcery, and translated mostly times sorcery in your King James rendition, is the word pharmakia, where you get your word pharmacy. Amen. And do you know what it means? Basically, sorcery, or more specifically, dealing with evil spirits, and more specifically,
magical incantations and or casting spells or charms upon someone by using the means of drugs and potions of various kinds. People who came forward, they got free from addiction and this and that, but they didn't get, we didn't get out the spirit of pharmakia. How about that? Think next time you go to a drugstore. Drug culture. If you have been in the drug culture, and you've been taking part, you have really, in a sense, been taking part in some form of witchcraft. Because, just like in the days of old, it's trying to seek God by using drugs. But you get the old counterfeit. And may I say this? That if you're in rock music, they go hand in hand with drugs. We had a very good-looking 18-year-old boy come to us one day. And he has some lust spirits, sexual immorality spirits. And it was the counsel of the elder who was working with me that, all right, we cast off enough demons. Let's go up. Come on, let's pray for the Holy Spirit. We cast out enough. Okay, brother, praise God. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit. So we prayed for the Holy Spirit, and what manifested on this kid's face was not the love of Jesus. It was like an ugly monster. And I said, my God, in Jesus' name, what do we have here? And it would not answer us. But a woman looked at it and says, I know what that is. That's a spirit of voodoo. What? Come out. And as soon as it heard its name, it went to a rage, threw this handsome 19-year-old on the floor, but we got it out. And we said, brother, where'd you get voodoo from? Did you go to Haiti? Nope. Jamaica? Nope. South America? Nope. He said, wait a minute. He says, you know, it's funny you ask that. I like when people say that. Because I have a rock tape of KC and the Sunshine Band in my car. And when I throw it in my 8-track and they give me that rhythmic beat, which the brother, you let me tell you, I know it's the Holy Spirit, that rhythm beat, the boom-bitty-boom, I get bad vibrations. And I want to tell you this, that even, and you bear with me, even Christian rock, okay? Even Christian rock with the same rhythm, I don't really care the words they're saying, it's the beat. And even the fundamentalists now have gone to Haiti, taped this thing, come back, put it on the rock music and compare the tapes, and it's got the same voodoo beat. And there's your connection between rock music and witchcraft. Now, I don't want to step on your toes, teenagers, but look, I was a teenager once, huh? And we're trying to instruct you in the ways of the Lord, be open. Okay, next line is, I renounce witchcraft and magic, both black and white. I don't care what shade of witchcraft it is, get rid of it. 1 Samuel 15:23, we discussed that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Okay, and iniquity and a stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Exodus 22:18 says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Micah 5:12-13 says, and I, God, will cut off the witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. What are the synonyms for witch? Necromancer? Well, what's that? Can I tell you what a necromancer meant to this old ex-Roman Catholic? Praying to Mary and the saints. They're dead. I don't pray to dead people. I pray to the one mediator, it says in 1 Timothy 2:5, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorcerer is a synonym. Soothsayer, charmer, enchanter, wizard, medium. And may I say, now we got to medium, that's why we renounce in the third line, seances, clairvoyance, mediums, contact with familiar spirits, and UFOs. Now you hang in on the UFOs. Deuteronomy 18:10 says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh a son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that use divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Verse 12, these are an abomination to the Lord. In fact, it goes on to say, and that's the reason I drove out your enemies from you. The sins of Manasseh, which are discussed in 2 Chronicles 33:6, were, quote, and he caused the children to pass through the fire. You know, God says, don't do something, so he did it. He observed times, used enchantments, used witchcraft, dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. We had a woman come to us who said she had a problem with fear. Terrible, terrible fear. Like something was around her. God told me, familiar spirit. Since then, the Lord says familiar spirit. Do you bear witness with that? Well, what's a familiar spirit? Well, demonic impersonation. Did somebody in your family die and visit you? What? Yes. My 9-year-old daughter died, and she visited me. She visited you? I have news for you. That wasn't your dead 9-year-old daughter. It was a familiar spirit. She says, well, if it was a familiar spirit, I sure was taken in on it because I thought it was my dead daughter. Well, you need to renounce it. She got free. The other example we used the other day of the two girls that we met in Manitoba, Canada, who thought it was very pleasing that their dead grandfather was come to visit the family. And I think I said that dead people do not have a visitation ministry to visit their relatives once they're dead. They should have did that when they were alive. Isaiah 19:3, and they, the Egyptians, shall seek to idols and to charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to wizards. And in verse 4, and the Egyptians, listen to this, will I give over into the hand of a cruel Lord. Well, you know what God spoke to me from those two scriptures? If we're involved in witchcraft, we're all subject to being submissive to a cruel Lord. Amen. Brother Frank, UFOs? Come on. You're kind of stretching it now. I wish I was. Now, I want every eye on me. I want no moving around. And I want no talking. Because you will not hear this in any church. What I'm going to tell you right now. And in preparing for this, I took it out of a book, which I got a witness on. But God has spoke to me, and I've told you this before, that I am not going to preach with words of an intellect, that I'm going to use experiences that God has caused me to pass through, whether it be my own or people I counsel with, and God show me that was his wisdom. Amen? I'm quoting from the book, UFOs, What on the Earth is Happening, written by John Weldon and a completed Jew, Zola Levin. And I'm going to read the title. Actually, I can't read all the whole book, but I read selected paragraphs on the chapter that has this title, UFOs and the Occult. I want everyone to listen. We believe that there is an important correlation between the upsurge of occult phenomena in human society and the increased prevalence of UFOs. From a biblical and historical context, it is clear that various manifestations of occultism seem to be tied directly to the power of demons. Thus, to the extent that the UFO phenomena aligns itself with occult phenomena, to that degree, it is linked to the power of demons. As believing Christians, obeying biblical admonitions, we hold an inflexible position regarding occult phenomena. As thinking members of a global society about to be brought to its fatal denouement by the activity of incredible evil forces, we mean to sound an alarm. First, the relationship between UFOs and the occult. Some accounts of UFO activities, contacts, and various kinds of signings seem to run parallel to biblical accounts, as if the demons of Scripture had stepped right out of ancient pages and taken up UFO flying. John Keel says that there has always been a very strong influence of the occult on UFOology. One of the most fascinating books documenting this relationship is Mr. Keel's book, quote, UFOs, Operation Trojan Horse. Originally 2,000 pages in length, it is the product of 4 years of continuous research. It is also noteworthy that many people interested in UFOs, now listen to this, in the 50s and 60s ended up in spiritualism and various occult societies. I don't care, I don't call that an act of God, do you? An exhaustive study done by astronomer and computer specialist Dr. Jack Vallee produced a compendium of 923 UFO landings from 1868 to 1968. It revealed that many of them contained the classic characteristics of the more general psychic phenomena, including a strong parallel between the, quote, religious apparitions, fairy faith, reports of dwarf-like beings with supernatural powers, etc. A 3-year UFO investigation by Brad Steiger, author of over 30 books on occult subjects, contains correlations between UFO and occult psychic phenomena. in at least 13 different areas, including telepathy, clairvoyance, and heightened psychic abilities on the part of contact. In 1969, the United States Government Printing Office issued a publication research by the Library of Congress for the Air Force of Scientific Research. The name of it was UFOs and Related Subjects, an Annotated Bibliography. The senior bibliographer, Lynn E. Coteau, had read thousands of UFO articles, books, and publications in preparing the 400-page volume. On page 4 of her preface, it had a very significant statement. Quote, "A large part of the available UFO literature is closely linked with mysticism and the metaphysical. It deals with subjects like mental telepathy, automatic writing, invisible entities, as well as the phenomena like poltergeist or ghost manifestations and possession." Many of the UFO reports now being published in the popular press recount alleged incidences that are strikingly similar to demoniac possession and psychic phenomena, which has long been known to theologians and parapsychologists. Finally, in the reviewing dozens of UFO books and scores of our articles in the Flying Saucer Review, considered the finest UFO magazine in the world, I found nearly 300 incidences which showed an interrelationship among UFO phenomena and occult phenomena in general. We're going to read one in just a minute. In one case of contact, I couldn't believe this when I read it. In one case of contact with, quote, extraterrestrials, men from outer space, two men claimed to be in touch with beings from Mars by using a shortwave radio and a Ouija board. I'll tell you, I don't have that much faith. Eventually, the messages came through by automatic writing. I think you know what that is. I believe it's Ruth Montgomery who has automatic writing on a typewriter. Automatic typing. Blah, 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 in a trance state. Demonic. Some of the old-fashioned mediums are able to act as competent UFO contactees, much as they claim contact with the departed for paying customers. The Solar Light Center claims to be in touch with beings from several planets in our own solar system. The director, Marianne Francis, receives her communication from extraterrestrials in a manner described as similar to the way, quote, a medium serves as a channel for the spirit communication during a seance. Brad Steiger mentions another group called the Light Affiliates, who were reportedly contacted by an extraterrestrial named Oxho. The young girl whom Oxho used for his contact acted in a similar way to a medium during the communication periods. Significantly, Steiger wonders whether the extraterrestrials would not be termed spirit guides by more conventional mediums. He also notes the close similarities between a contactee behavior and the behavior of a medium while in a trance. In fact, in one part of this book, they even put, what do they call, EKGs or some type of scans on the brain, and the thought pattern dropped onto a wavelength as someone supposedly made contact with a UFO, as a medium would do while making contact with a familiar spirit. How about that? The idea of dreams being the means of spirit contact is also common to both UFO reports and occult practices. Information and guidance apparently may come to the medium or the contactee during sleep. Seth, the spirit who has the title role in medium Jane Roberts' books, has claimed that he and other spirit beings have communicated through Roberts by means of her dream states. Notice the counterfeit, because God's going to give us dreams and visions. Satan's got a counterfeit for everything. He told the medium that she was trained by them for her trade in that matter. The Urantia book, A Dweller Between Two Planets and the History of Origin of All Things, are occult volumes allegedly written through human mediums by spirit beings, or in the first case, extraterrestrials. The usual method is automatic writing, although variations are sometimes employed. And in parentheses, transdictation with Edgar Cayce. Got any of his books? Automatic typing with Ruth Montgomery. The, quote, automatic part indicates the guidance of the occultist by the demonic spirit, whatever the particular technique. The receiver's thoughts and actions become manipulated from without. Now, this you may relate to a little bit better. Jonathan Livingston Seagull was written by Richard Bach in a somewhat similar manner, according to his own testimony, and rather than a case of literature, it is a frank occult discussion showing the subtlety of spirits. Fasten your seatbelts. Abducted policeman Herbert Shermer testified that UFO occupants planted data in his mind and told him that they do the same with everyone they contact. Isn't that beautiful? There is some historical record of occultists receiving very advanced technical information via contact with spirits. Jacques Berger records a large number of cases involving supernatural beings or quote-unquote creatures of light whose sole desire was to impart advanced knowledge of philosophy and various academic data. Listen to the next statement. They appeared in large numbers during the five centuries between 1000 and 1500 A.D. In the 13th and 14th centuries, they appeared in connection with the Freemasons. Isn't that interesting? Freemasons, a group which later held a belief in extraterrestrial life. UFO occupants have sometimes become visible entities, as in the Pascagoula abduction, and have made contact directly by voice, light beams, and telethought. While these testimonies come under much suspicion, they have been plentiful and bear many subtle characteristics in common. We met a young man, 19 years old. Now you listen to this. He was what the teenagers will call today a flunky. He could not pass any tests in school. He was the bottom of his list. But he had a peculiar habit. He would go outside and examine the stars. Look at the stars. I mean, I don't mind looking at the stars, okay? But he did it every night without fail, as if to expect to see something or someone. One day he was visited. As he is in his room, and I will tell you that this is the gospel truth as far as was told me. Remember, he was a dummy. A set of equations appeared on, let's say, that wall over there, opposite me. And as he stared at the equations, they come off the wall, they entered his mind. From then on, he was an A student. He said, what has that got to do with UFOs? May I reread a sentence? Jacques Berger records a large number of cases involving supernatural beings whose sole desire was to impart advanced knowledge of philosophy and various academic data. We cast it out.
You know what I like, too? There's this one comment in the book, and then I'm going to tell you something which you never realized before, at least I hope. In the appendix of this book, it says, Bryant and Helen Reed spent 2 years interviewing contactees around the world. In nearly every case where communication was established, it was by occult methods. These included projections of consciousness, automatic writing, implanted thought dictation, emergence, ESP, telepathy, clairvoyance, mediumship, semantic meditation during yoga, sound and sight rays. The space beings strongly urged of movement into occultism if someone is to progress. I don't call that progress. I call that regression. You say, so what? So what? All right. Let's recapitulate how we used to handle the idea of UFOs, at least when I was a kid. Can I tell you what the movie screen and the general philosophy was? If they're up there, we're going to blast them out of the sky.
Right?
The colonel's laughing because he knows. We're going to blast them out. We're going to show them who's superior. We got the bomb. Right? Well, now we come 30 years later. And this world's in such a mess. The philosophy is, hey, if there's not somebody up there to help us out, we're in trouble. Boy, it's quiet out there. If we don't have a, quote, close encounter with somebody who's benevolent steering his spaceship from Mars to us, this old world is over. Isn't that the philosophy? I know it's the philosophy of a lot of people today. I sure hope there's somebody to help me out. Well, let's consider
what that would mean as far as eschatology. We're looking for someone from the sky to help us out. Here comes a spaceship, lands on planet Earth, and out walks a man, maybe dressed in a white robe, got long hair, and say, I'm your savior. I tell you, I have a lot of compassion, my brother said. I'd start looking for holes in the head real quick. Woo! I want to tell you, my Jesus left the Mount of Olives, and he ascended, and he doesn't need a spaceship to come back. Hallelujah! But to the unregenerate, what do they know? They probably think we might come back that way. Isn't it interesting? Now let's consider something else. And by the way, you would have immediate antichrist? Give him everything. Let him take care of it, right? Now let's use it the other way. Let's say we have UFOs, and the antichrist emerges from the earth and has the power to defeat them, which if he was Satan incarnate, whether your theology believes, and just says, okay, guys, buzz off, I'm on the scene. They immediately go and say, well, here's the superhuman. Let's give him anything anyway. In both cases, Satan wins. Amen. Let me give you something to think about. In the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 7, we find that Moses went to Pharaoh. And he asked God for a sign to show Pharaoh and his household a sign that he was from God. And God says, I want you to take that rod of authority and to drop it. You know the story. What happened? The rod turned into a serpent, a snake. That's right. But what happened? Then Pharaoh also called his guys the wise guys, and the sorcerers, and the magicians. And the Bible tells me, in Exodus 7:11, they didn't like manna with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents also. I want to ask you something. Do you honestly believe that those magicians work by the power of God? I don't. In fact, the reason I believe is because Pharaoh says to Moses, I don't know who your God is. He quickly found out. But the point is, how do I take an inanimate object such as a rod and make a snake, which is living? Have you ever wondered that? How can I take a rod and make a snake out of it? You know what the problem is? We know how powerful God is. We don't know how powerful the devil is. Time we find out. But here's the point. Now, naturally, God cannot win this rod up the snake. But if Satan could take a stick and make it a snake, why can't he take a rock and make it a UFO? Lying signs and wonders? Amen. But we're children of the light. Let's start acting like children of the light. Let's move on. We can spend enough time on that. Next statement is, I renounce Ouija boards and all other occult games. Okay. We had a... And Ouija boards, don't buy them for your children, please. And if you got them, burn them. Don't give them away. We had a girl come to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit at a charismatic Baptist church I was once in. She comes stand before the pastor. I want you pastors to listen if you're out there. And the pastor laid hands on her like this. And to my eyes, I was very new at the time, very new Christian. She was what we call slain in the spirit. Okay, and I believe the power of God can sometimes overwhelm you. You can't stand. It's happened to me. But there was a discerning elder. And I tell you, I praise God for his discernment, and I'm big on discernment myself ever since that. He walked over to her, and he looked. He went down, and he laid his hands on her, and he started praying in tongues. So all of a sudden, she started screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I said, that's the way you get tongues? I said, what is going on? And the Lord spoke to him to take me aside and explain. And then we took the woman over, and he said, have you ever played with a Ouija board? Oh, yes, but that was a long time ago. Doesn't matter. You were not slain in the spirit. Now, I'm not saying that when you go over by the power of God, that's the devil. Now, just listen. But the devil's got to counterfeit for everything. He discerns it wasn't a beautiful going over the Lord, that Satan threw her down because of the anointing on my pastor's hand. You understand? He was going to lay hands with his anointing, which the pastor had, on this girl. Satan was going to make sure that he didn't want her to get that anointing. But when the elder came and put his hand on it, a demon started manifesting. Just apply a lot of heat to do a lot of screaming. So, that's an example for you. I renounce all fortune-telling, palm-reading, tea-leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot, and other card-laying. I renounce all astrology and interest in horoscopes and signs of the zodiac. Why? I'm not even going to go into it, but I'll just read certain scriptures, and I'm going to leave it at that and to your imagination. Leviticus 19:26, you shall not use enchantments nor observe times. Isaiah 47, verse 12, stand now with thine enchantments, and with thy multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them, they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. Jeremiah 27, verse 9, therefore hearken not ye to the prophets, nor to your diviners, to your dreamers, to your enchanters, to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Amen. Okay.
I renounce the heresy of reincarnation and all healing groups involved in metaphysics. We ran into a case, not personally, but where a woman was seemingly healed by the power of Satan. A charmlet was given to her to wear around the neck like I'm wearing this mic. However, when Christians got to her and opened up her, this little gold heart, there was a little prayer dedicated to Satan. It says, Satan, heal her just as long as you take her soul in the end. I renounce all hypnosis, mind reading, mind control, second sight, and ESP, EST, and parapsychology. Brother Frank, why is hypnosis of the devil? Well, you know, I did a little studying. Do you know what the word hypnotism or hypnotist is in the Old Testament? It's called a charmer. Woo, isn't that nice? Someone who waves a charm in front of you. Except we got fancy now in the 19th century or 20th century, and we call it a hypnotist. You know how many people, Christian people, we ran into that says, but Brother Frank, it's okay. A Christian hypnotized me. Dear. A Christian doctor. I had need an operation, so I refused to use drugs. I said, praise God, sister, that's wonderful. How did you do it? I submitted to hypnotism. Lord, help us. I had a molar to be pulled, and he didn't use any ether or any drugs. How did he do it? He hypnotized me. Oh, Jesus, save us. I feel like the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, deliver me from this cup. Hallelujah. The remaining mind reading, mind control, second sight, ESP, and etc. is all demonic for obviously the same reason. Parapsychology, well, that's interesting. Quoting from the same book on UFOs, let me read this. Parapsychology, this is real quick, often characterized as the serious scientific study of occult phenomena, has gained a certain respectability as a scholarly discipline. Ooh, isn't that nice? Go to school and you get your degree in witchcraft. Chairs have been established at various universities and controlled laboratory-style experiments in the realms of the occult go on every day. This work was begun at Duke University by Dr. J.B. Ryan as an established scientist. Isn't that nice? Who published intriguing experimental results from his work with the psychic ability. Duke set up a true scientific lab with facilities for controlled experimentation where Dr. Ryan pursued the weird world of mediums, telepathists, seers of the future, and those who seem to exercise mind over matter. Psychic healing, another occult phenomenon, has been with us from the earliest days of the local witch doctor. But modern times have seen refinement of the inexplicable healing techniques taken very seriously, at least by the healed people. That psychosomatic illness would respond to the psychoanalyst was accepted grudgingly by the medical world, but the idea of pure faith healing raised much opposition. Isn't that interesting? Nevertheless, sick people have gone where they could get help, and that has come to include the hypnotist, who might solve your ulcer in one session, or the psychic surgeon who uses incantations and laying on of hands. Look at that. Forfeit or counterfeit. In the world of astrology, another hoary predilection of human society, computers have been pressed into service and millions have responded to Sunday supplement ads to have them understood by the stars. Like the various techniques of psychic healing, astrological advice and forecasts seem to satisfy the multitudes, even though they cannot be found to have a valid scientific basis. Many of our youth would rather know a prospective romantic partner's astrological signs than his family background or tastes. People gladly forward their fees again and again so that they may plan travel or investments or even marital decisions around the conclusions of the star chart makers. In books, a good indicator of public taste, the occult is practically a department of its own nowadays. In the paperback racks and rows of the Spirit Contact books or the von Däniken variety sell briskly, and what used to be relegated to science fiction has almost become social commentary. Amen. I renounce water witching. Why is that of the devil?
Well, why do you call it witching? The Holy Spirit didn't name it that. Or dousing. Levitation. Oh, boy, so I want to tell you something. I don't have a TV. But I went to see someone who had a program on. It was all full of witchcraft. I wouldn't even go into it. It was just horrible. I wouldn't want to tell you about it. Body lifting, table tipping, psychometry, automatic writing, drawing, and composing. Psychometry, what's that? I never heard of that. Oh, no? Did you have the stage player who comes down and says, ma'am, can I have a ring from your finger? Oh, yes, here, take my ring. Oh, yes. Let's see, in 1953, you were in Japan for 6 days, and that's psychometry. Have you ever given a ring? Or better yet, have you ever taken your ring, tie it to a string, and hold it over a pregnant woman to see which way it turns, to see if it's a boy or girl? Witchcraft! Oh, I never thought of that, Brother Frank. Think again. Automatic writing, automatic drawing. Can I tell you modern names for witches? Ruth Montgomery, Taylor Caldwell, Edgar Casey, Jean Dixon. Get rid of the stuff. Burn it. Don't give it away. Burn it. That's the scripture way. I tell you, if I didn't account for this stuff personally, I would not preach it. That's my principle. That's what God told me to do. That's what I do. I taught the book of Revelation when I was a very new Christian. Thank God in heaven I didn't teach it again because I like better the way Lee Ellingwood teaches. Praise God, brother. And there was a woman that I knew. She was a professional artist. So I figured, hey, I'll get her to draw some of these beasts and horns and, you know, all the heads and all this stuff, you know, the warts on the toes, all that stuff. So she drew the beast with the seven heads. She brought it in. She said, Brother Frank, something really weird happened. What's that, sister? She says, I just had a pencil in my hand. And all I did was shade the seven heads like you told me. And these faces came into the picture. I want to tell you something. And Rosalie knows, that's why she's laughing. When we saw this, they looked like subdued photographs. Because you could see the lineage of the eyes, the nose, the mouth in the picture. And she did not do anything consciously to produce it. I don't know anything about deliverance. But had I would have had a time with her. Praise God. Okay, let's see where we are. All right, we're going to finish this, and then we're going to close for the night. We're going to go into objects, but we're going to go through them very briefly because objects are discussed in Break Those Curses, Part 2. I renounce astral projection. Can I just tell you one thing? If you have a book by Eric Von Däniken, Chariots of the Gods, it was very big several years ago. How many of you remember that? Raise your hand. Okay. Heard of it. Don't buy it. The man practices, and I know it because I'll tell you, if I knew this parapsychology was witchcraft, I would have never gone to a parapsychologist club meeting where one of the Eric Von Däniken cohorts was giving a presentation of how Eric Von Däniken has had out-of-the-body experiences. That means the demonic deception where your spirit goes here, there, and everywhere. No, sorry. The Holy Spirit does, not your spirit. That's astral projection. I renounce all literature that I've ever read in these fields and vow that I will destroy such books in my own possession, and I also will destroy any objects, pictures, signs, statues, jewelry, charts, of which are on my person or in my house. Before I get to that, if you go up one more, it says, I renounce astral projection and other demonic skills. Notice I didn't limit that because there's so many. We got this Israel-born person, I won't mention his name, who can hold a fork in his hand
And with the power, so-called, of his mind, it bends. He's done this on TV. He's had rallies where he has thousands of clocks and supposedly with his mind, he gets them all to stop. I wish several Christians would have got together and prayed and none of them would have stopped. He's got to bind that demon. It's a demonic skill. Telekinesis is a demonic skill. Okay, as far as the literature, destruction of books and all types of objects by burning is scriptural. Acts 19:19. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. There's one church up in Long Island, New York. And you know what they have once a month, bless God? They have 11 burning parties where they take and just throw all this trash and light a match and praise God as they watch it go up in smoke. Hallelujah! And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Woo! Imagine what inflation would have cost today for that. I thank God for two young people and men in Canada who didn't count their $400 collection of rock music too valuable for them to break and throw in the trash pile. Praise God. Objects. You mean if I take objects in my house, it's bad? Woo! I got half a sermon on that, but I'll go real quickly through it, because that comes under break those curses. Deuteronomy 7:25-26, the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. There's fire again. Thou shalt not desire the silver nor gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring, listen to this, an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. How much clearer could it be? But thou shalt utterly detest it. Thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Psalms 31:6. I have hated them that trust in lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. You know what lying vanities means? Idol. Objects. What type of objects? I'll go through it once, raise your curiosity, and hope you come back. Frogs. Owls. Jewelry. Got an Italian horn? It's not Italian. Ask me. With a name like Mendolia, I should know. David Starr, books, pictures, Indian totem poles, been on the reservation lately. Cuckoo clocks, cuckoo is an unclean bird. Certain cosmetic products, woo! We found one that was steeped into witchcraft. So-and-so cast its first spell at Christmas. I'll tell you in private the name of it. I won't use it on a tape. Thank you. I didn't say it. He did. Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad you said it. I didn't think he was up with it. He knows pretty much that old guy.
This tape is continued.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.